This is the perfect time to start a side hustle, and this is also the perfect time to start a podcast about starting a side hustle. Kick it. The dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. This is the Living My Side Hustle podcast.
Okay, everyone, welcome to Living My Side Hustle. Behind the scenes, there's a lot of horses penned up right now with pent-up emotions, I guess, as they're all in their stalls as we record today. My guest has many horses, of which I have seen one, and it was beautiful. Welcome to the podcast, Brittany. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be able to have a great conversation with you.
Okay, so we talked, and you sent me a picture, thank you, of Sunday. Oh, beautiful Sunday. My wife grew up with horses. You have horses. You have more than one. And I'd love to hear about the horses and where you are in this great world of ours.
Cool. So I am in Alberta, Canada. If you can't tell, we're Canadian accents a little different. Hey. One's east, one's west. I absolutely love animals of all kinds. So as much as we have horses, we have dogs and donkeys and cats and all the other fun stuff that comes with being on a farm in the prairies. So I've been really blessed to be able to raise our children out in nature and to be able to have our best friends with us, which is our horses, on the daily.
Okay, so who is the biggest character out there? Like, just like star of the show, knows they're all of that. Which of your animals is the one?
Her name is Millie. She is my milk cow. I believe she was misnamed, and we should have named her Miss Potts, because she is so nosy that every person who drives past our farm, drives onto our farm, she is there to investigate. My six tall Holstein.
Okay. So she's the one like at the door to the club to check to see if you're on the list, that type
yes.
of thing.
Yes. And, okay. More dog than cow. She likes to be hand-fed cookies and pet brushed and walked on her leash.
Don't we all, though, really?
Right?
Think about it, right?
I know. And she just got the light.
I would love to be hand-fed cookies. That's on my list. I'm adding that to my list right now.
I gave her and cookies fed. She didn't like this morning, and she let me know. She spit them out across the fence.
Bleh. Yeah.
Thanks, Millie.
You work for me now. So I love
yes.
that. Okay. That's great. So we connected about side hustles. Yeah. I'm on your website. Great website, by the way. Can you take us through a little bit of your website? We're going to talk about it during the podcast, but also at the end, we'll send people there as well. But take me to the website and tell me what's here and why do you have a website?
So I have a website because I love helping people be exactly who they are designed to be. And I do that through helping people establish a brand, whether or not that's a personal brand or a business brand. I like personal brands, though. They are my favorite. So if you go to my website, it's Brettany, Brettany.com/home. My first thing on my website is I love to have a conversation. So I like to get to know people. I like to know whether or not we jive, whether or not I can actually solve a problem for you, whether or not you are looking for something that I have a solution for. And if I don't have a solution for you, if I can connect you to a person who does have a solution for you. So I like to start with a good conversation, figure out where you're at, where you want to be, if I can help you get there, or if I know somebody who can help you get there. Because I think it's really, really important to be able to help people authentically get their desired result, not necessarily my desired result for them. So that's why I like to have a conversation. And then the other fun part about my website is I do go into what a personal brand is and all of that, because lots of times people don't realize why they need a personal brand. They don't realize they already have a personal brand. It's just something that's not talked about. And so I do bring awareness to what is a personal brand, why you need one, what's important, how to develop it. And that really I'm just going to dive right in because a personal brand is simply your reputation. I just felt it right there, David, coming from you. What is a personal brand?
You can read my mind. It's like being hand-fed cookies, you know? It's hand-fed questions and answers. I love it. Good. Go. Let's do this.
Cool. So it's your reputation. So when you look at your personal brand, all of us have personal brands. Everywhere we go, we are who we are. People are going to recognize us for who we are. Like even our East Coast accent or our West accent, there's different things that are associated with that. When I work with Americans and I say giver, they have no idea what I'm saying. And when I work with Canadians and I say giver, they know exactly what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So things like that all form our personal brand. The fact that I love horses, I love animals, I love allowing people to be who they are. I want people to know that they're not like everyone else. And that's a good thing. That's what a personal brand is what is unique to you. Do you, like, I wear cowboy boots. Dave, you probably don't wear cowboy boots every day. Like, all of those things are part of a personal brand. I'm a jeans and t-shirt girl. I'm not going to be fancy wearing a $1,200 shirt talking to you. It doesn't matter to me. That's not part of my brand.
Right.
Now, if you want to go out and go for a hike, and I'm all for that. So my brand is more nature. My brand is more salt of the earth. My brand is animals, connection, communication, relatability. That's my brand. And you'll see that when you interact with me. I'm not a very intimidating human. I'm very easy to connect with. I'm easy to talk to. But I also want you to be able to be heard. So lots of times I leave a lot of space for people to be able to insert themselves. And I love asking questions so that people can insert themselves. So those are things that are connected to my personal brand, but your brand is going to be different. Everybody's brand is going to be different because we all have unique gifts, talents, strengths, and most importantly, we all have unique experiences. So that's what I really help people highlight is how do we take all of that awesomeness and grow your impact and your product.
Okay, so we know what a personal brand is. When you hear people talking about what they determine a personal brand is, and you're like, no, that's not, I don't know if that's a personal brand statement. Is there something that you're like, what is not a personal brand in your opinion as people kind of throw that term out?
That's a super fun question. So Tangerine is not a personal brand. When you look at a brand like a Tangerine, you look at FedEx, you look at all that. There's emotions in it, but there's no human attached to it. When you say the word Tangerine, you don't think of a human.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, I have helped some large CEOs of these mega corporations form magnificent personal brands because their genius can benefit the world on so many levels.
Okay.
So lots of times there is a personal brand behind those big brands, but typically when you think of a big brand like Tangerine, Coke, Pepsi, you're not thinking personal. You see the brand for what it is. You have your Coke sign behind you.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Anybody knows Coke, right? That's a corporate brand. What we're talking about is the humans behind those corporate brands, humans behind the side hustle, the humans behind the big nonprofits. There's always a human driving in it. And those are the people I'd love to serve.
Okay, so there's people listening and they are starting their side hustle and they haven't spent much time thinking about their personal branding. How soon in the process of getting a side hustle off the ground should we be thinking about our personal brand?
So I used to have a very different opinion of this, so I will for sure say that my opinion has changed. So my opinion used to be get yourself established, make your first, I call it whatever your number is to validate your side hustle. So if it's $100, $10,000, $1 million, whatever that number is for you, and then investigate a personal brand. Now my opinion is you already have a personal brand, you should probably just leverage it.
Okay. So what's the difference between friends, family, and influence in your community that you built up over the years and a personal brand?
None. Other than you have the bridge that goes with it.
Okay, expand, please. I love this.
That's so good. This is one thing that I absolutely, that's why my opinion changed, is I used to think you needed to put together a personal brand. And then as I've matured and I've experienced more things and I've witnessed more, coached more people, I've realized that we all already have it. We just don't know it because we've never actually just put words to it. And so we already all have a personal brand. Like when people meet me, they know, they can see a lot about me in the first glimpse of me. When they hear me talk, they can, they make assumptions immediately. We all already have it. Okay. So lots of times it's just putting the verbiage around it. And then the most important part about personal brand is actually discretion about what you're deciding to share with the world, because we don't need to share everything with the world. We don't need to, like my husband always says, I teach people how not to shake their boobies on TikTok and make money. Like,
sign me up. Sign me up.
But like, we don't have to share everything. We can be discerning in what we're sharing, and then we can create really, really impactful messages that align with how you make money, that align with your values, that align with your physical appearance, that align with all of the things that you value. And that's the message that goes out into the world. And so that's why I think it's so important to step forward with a personal brand first before you find yourself oversharing, or you find yourself exhausted from social media, or you find yourself exhausted from events or whatever it may be. Set those boundaries in place on yourself first so that you have the discretion of what is needed in order to create profit and impact.
Hey, Brittany, do you have an example of somebody that's worked with you, came to you, and you've helped them discover the personal brand that they already had? Any kind of story that you can share?
Yeah, it happens with every human. That's why I started with, I love business. You and I chatted about this. Mm-hmm. Business is something that I absolutely adore. But I realized so many people were putting everything in the business that they were identifying themselves inside. They were putting their entire identity into this business, into this side hustle. And then I realized, I was like, yo, guys, do you know that all you're doing is painting a canvas and like you can walk out the room? Like the business doesn't come with you. And when I realized that, like business owners actually didn't realize that they were putting their heart and soul into this business. And I was like, no, you're just creating something on paper. Like a business has no feelings. A business just needs to make money. That's why you have side hustles. That's why you have businesses. That's really the whole point of it. Otherwise you would run a nonprofit or you would have a hobby.
Yeah.
So when you started to look at, when I started to work with people to understand that a business is just something that you are creating in this one moment of time, and the only job of a business is to recreate the perfect purchase over and over again. That's all a business does. So everything else is you.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Pretty magical. Like,
right?
You are the secret sauce. You're the unicorn. Like, why are we not allowing people to shine for what they really have to offer? Businesses are not that cool. Like they're cool, but they're really not that flashy. Like you just got to find the perfect purchase and then you just got to put the system behind it to repeat the process. But the human behind it is what's magical. And so that's when I started to make that transformation into helping people see that a business you can do, a business has a whole bunch of tangible attached to it. The intangible is the person, the man behind the machine.
Interesting, because some of the side hustles that I've been talking to people about starting would include a podcast. And what you're saying is exactly the same thing for a podcast.
100%.
Find the method, find this thing and just repeat it. But the real person behind the podcast is the brand.
Yes. And that's the magic. Like you take you out of your podcast, it's not going to be the same podcast.
True. And that's what makes it unique. And that's what makes an author writing a book unique, or a musician recording a song, or a person starting their side hustle. That's what makes it unique, is not the idea potentially or the method. It's more the person.
And look at, like, I look at, you eliminate these, especially in the side hustle sector.
Yeah.
You eliminate the human. There is no side hustle.
Right.
So why not elevate that human so that they're building a business and they're building a side hustle that fits within parameters that actually produces the life they want, the profit they want, the impact they want?
Okay, so you've already shared one thing you've changed your mind about through working with clients. What else have you, are you debating or changing your mind about over time?
Oh, so I used to be a duality human.
Okay, explain. I like
black
this.
And white. Okay. Yes, no, good, bad. Like extreme duality human. and then after we lost a child last summer, and having gone through the experience of losing a child, it really called me into question a lot of things that I had built as absolutes in my world.
Mm.
And then I realized those aren't absolutes. Those aren't hills I actually want to die on. Like, they are actually meaningless in the scale of what I value. So why was I putting these things in this state of duality when some things exist in the good and the bad? Some things, like, there isn't just a duality. There is, inside of one person, there's good things and there's bad things. And that's okay. Inside of a decision, there's good things and there's bad things. And that's okay. Like, all of that is okay. And all of a sudden to realize that there wasn't a right or a wrong. There isn't the only way to build a side hustle. There isn't the only way to do a podcast. There's different ways. And there's actually space for all of those different ways because they serve different people and they solve different problems. So exiting duality is probably my thing that I've built to recently have questioned immensely.
That sounds like a book for you.
That could be.
It's a good title too.
Hey,
that's trademarked, everyone, just so you know. That's Brittany's book. Don't touch it. We'll sick Millie on you. So yes, I love it. So, okay. Now, Brittany, I don't want to go too deep into the story, but if anybody kind of heard what you just mentioned, you're like, they're like, wait a minute, what did she say? You lost a child. I don't, as a parent, I don't even know how to respond to that because I can't imagine that, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. However you feel comfortable, can you just tell us how do you go forward from that kind of situation in life? I don't know what to do there.
So, I really appreciate you broaching this topic because I think it's a topic that lots of people are scared to touch on. And having gone through it, it has become very readily apparent how many people have no idea how to respond to their worst nightmare when it's happening to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I look at it going, losing a child is something that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Like, there is no part of this journey that I would wish on any human. But I also know that grief, the level of grief that I feel is in comparison to the level of love that exists. And that I would never give up in a million years. So losing a child, I would say, changed my entire foundation. And now I'm so grateful because Bo challenged everything in me. And now I'm like, man, you came and you changed my entire life. What part of that am I not grateful for? Mm. I look at sunrises and I see beauty like I've never seen. I look at sunsets and I go, how many people don't realize what a blessing it is to see these sunsets? We're all guaranteed to go to sleep. We are not guaranteed to wake up. And so living now, understanding what the price is, allows me to value people so much more. It allows me to value moments so much more. It allows me to see how much I minimized before, how much I overstepped. I didn't take that time to actually absorb the beauty that was around me. And so I look at my son's life and I am forever grateful for him because I'm like, his life and his death changed me immensely. And it's something that I will always talk about him. It's such a privilege to be able to talk about him. It's such a privilege to be able to talk about the fact that loss doesn't mean the end. Loss is literally, one of my favorite books is called Gardens from Graves, and that's a book of poetry. And I'm like, that's truly what happens is if you are willing to dig deep and you're willing to see the beauty in situations that most people can't ever imagine finding themselves in, you will live with so much joy from inside of your soul that I only wish people would be willing to go on that journey. And it took me losing a child to be able to go on that journey.
That's a hard lesson to learn. Yeah. So for a parent that listening to you right now, just hitting the rewind button several times to hear you talk again about this, what's your message to them as they cross a similar path in their life?
For me, the biggest thing is acknowledge what is in this moment. I have to chuckle. I have to share a story. So I was pregnant with Beau. I was like 38 weeks pregnant, like very pregnant. I was having a shower and literally it was like, this kid's name's Beau. And I was like, oh, my husband's going to hate that. that's not one that he's going to like. And wow. Then when he was born, my husband is like, oh my goodness, remember how you said his name was Beau? And I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, so his name is totally Beau. And I'm like, good, because that's what it was going to be, no matter what.
Love it.
And then I look at the fact, like, Beau had a major brain bleed when he was 6 hours old. And I go, like, so we named him Beau, thinking we had a perfectly healthy baby. Like, no part of us knew anything that was about to transpire in the next 12 hours of our lives. And then I look at going, it was actually my six-year-old. He goes, I can't believe that we named him Beau. And I said, oh, why is that age? And he's like, because now we always have a Beau on our present.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's why his name was Beau, because my biggest advice to people is the past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. The only thing that exists right now is the present. It's in this moment. Choose to live in this moment. And that's what Beau taught me. And I look at, like, my six-year-old figured it out before I could. But I was like, literally, he was a gift to us. And he will forever remind us that he is the Beau on top of our present.
Oh my gosh. I had no idea that that was where you would land on this, and that is amazing. Mm-hmm. From the point of view of a six-year-old, and it made complete sense to them, and it makes complete sense to me as an adult. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, so no wonder his name had to be Beau, and I'm so glad I listened to my intuition. I was going to override my husband no matter what. But he came around. When he saw him, he came around.
In a somewhat similar situation, when I was like 17 or 18, I was at home by myself watching TV. I can take you there, sitting on the couch, no one in the house. And all it was your son's name is McMillan. And I'm like looking around like, who the heck, who's here? Right? Right? McMillan. I've never heard that name before. McMillan. He's like, yeah, your son's name is McMillan. I'm like, okay. I'm like, thanks, whoever that was, but yeah, and my son's name is McMillan. And I'm like, it wasn't even like a, hey, you should think about the name. It was, no, the name is. And I'm like, okay, the name is. I have no idea why, but that's the name. And there's such power in a name.
So
for Beau, right? For Beau, that's very meaningful for me. Brittany, that was so, thank you for taking us there. I know we've kind of gone a little way from side hustle for a moment, but I think that our stories shape us. And I think 100%. That our stories are something that is in front of us at all times. I give an example of if you're running with a backpack and you come up to a fence, you have two choices. You can jump over the fence and try to reach over and bring the backpack with you, or you can toss the backpack over the fence and then rejoin it as you climb over the fence. And I think our stories and our memories are things that we should put in front of us, that we work our way to instead of pull from behind, because now there's something that inspires us, the sunset, the sunrise. It's a lesson learned that we can put in front of us every day and work our way towards that thing that we've learned. So Bo is the gift that keeps on giving, basically.
Yes, truly.
Right. So I love it. I love how these things shape your thoughts when you talk about working with people too. Because again, that was one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you about that is when you sit down with somebody and you have a conversation about helping them, you're coming from a place of being a person that had to be helped at one point in time, and people were there to help you. So now you are turning that around, right?
Well, and I think that's one of the biggest things is like, I was a major overachiever, like type A, like break every record, make a million, like make the most amount of money that I could at the youngest age. And now I'm like, oh my goodness, I was dumb. That's not actually what I value at all. I'm like, I value sitting and drinking coffee with my husband in the morning. I value like making snow forts with my kids. Those are the moments that I value. And I'm like, no part of what I valued before exists anymore. And that all happened in a moment. And we all have these moments. And most people have three or four of them that stand out. And I look at it going, those moments, if me sharing Bo's story inspires one person to live in the present, that is all I needed to accomplish today. And that's where I look at it going, like, joy needs to be brought forward. The present needs to be brought forward. Those are what I want my life to share with others from this point forward.
So let's pull it back to side hustles and creating something for our future. How can creating a side hustle be dangerous to our family? And what do we do to make sure we don't harm those we love by pursuing the next thing that we feel called to do?
That is an exceptional question. And this is a question I wish I would have been asked when I was 18. That would have been helpful.
Yeah.
So I think for me, side hustles can easily, well, I'm going to get real honest. So people who like side hustles, like business, like dopamine, and we're addicts. And we chase dopamine, and business and side hustles are typically our hit. And so when I started to realize that I'm a dopamine addict, that was humbling. And
right.
So many of us start our side hustles from a point of we have something to offer, or we came up with a cool product, we came up with a cool concept, whatever it is. And it starts off so innocent, so innocent. And then all of a sudden you made $100,000. And then you can start to shift where you're going to spend your time because you don't need to work your 9 to 5 as much now because you have a side hustle. And then all of a sudden your side hustle is 80 hours a week. And all of a sudden your kids are going, do we see you anymore?
Right.
Or do you live on your phone? Or are your clients more important to you than we are? Or is making sure we have the next newest, greatest truck or car, or do we live in a big house? All of a sudden, the priorities shift very quickly when you're chasing the dopamine. And when I realized that I was a full-on dopamine addict, I was humbled in the sense that I had no idea. I thought I was doing what was right. I was providing a beautiful life for my children. We lived in a big house. We drove fancy cars. We did everything right based off of society standards. And yet I would say we were miserable. Like, we didn't have joy inside of us. I had, how am I going to make X number of dollars this month? How many clients do I need to get? How many sales do I have to have? everything was me, 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 me. And that, I think, is where we need to maybe just have like checks and balances of like, who is holding you accountable? Are you sharing your whole life? Are you only working 4 hours a week? Where are these checks and balances? And as side hustles, lots of times we don't put in those checks and balances because we're starting, everything we make goes back into the business. And then we might make something that produces a really good profit, or we might make something that takes a lot of money. So then we feel guilty, and then we live in this shame and blame and guilt and greed and all of those things. Right. And that's not where we're meant to live. And so lots of times I feel like people maybe just aren't aware that they need those checks and balances, and you need them a lot quicker than you think you do.
Yeah. To give up a 40-hour work week to work 80-plus hours on your side hustle doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Right?
It doesn't, but we think because we're making we may never made this much money before, or we've never done this before, or I've never been asked to speak before, or it's always that, like, the dopamine hit of what is next. Mm-hmm. Right. And it can happen very quickly.
But Brittany, it's just short term while I get started. You know, I'm going to put a couple of years into this business and see how it goes. And everyone understands that, you know, I need to put my efforts towards my side hustle, and they'll all wait. There's still only so many sunrises and sunsets, right?
Exactly. I love Tennille. Well, I don't love Tennille Towns' song, but I do love Tennille Towns' song, is "You Never Know When It's the Last Time." And we didn't know that was the last time.
Right.
So we often ask ourselves that question. Is that what we would do if we knew this was the last day we had? Is this?
Yeah.
Right. So it shifts that perspective. And so often, I think as side hustle humans, we love helping people. Like, that's typically a character trait of side hustle humans, is there is a love of helping people, the love of connecting, a love of all that. And all I'm saying is there's that, which is amazing. But you got to make sure that you have somebody holding you accountable. You have to have those checks and balances. You have to be able to have, is this side hustle profitable? If it's not profitable, what are you doing? Why are you here?
Yeah.
What needs to happen to make it profitable in the next 30 days? If you can't answer that question, we need to be having a different conversation.
Right. So let's go back to the beginning of our episode together. We talked about personal branding, and the personal branding is you. So your story is you, and your story is amazing, by the way. With all that said, how do we leverage our story so that we can grow our small business, our side hustle, our thing? What do we do to tap into that story and make connection with people? What do we do?
So I actually call it my supernova, because my daughter's name is Nova.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So I have my supernova, and then I call it my engage framework, because my son is named Gage. So engage framework.
Oh my gosh, branding everywhere. Yes.
So you can build your rainbow in honor of Beau.
Oh, come on. Seriously?
Yes. That's the whole framework right there.
Feels like Oprah. You get a branding, you get a branding, and you get a branding. Love it. You got this figured out. Okay, you got me. Let's go. Keep going.
Okay. So in the supernova, you take four things, and lots of people will call these your brand pillars. And I don't like to look at them as brand pillars. I like to look at them as the things that you could talk all day long about. And when we get into those four things, you will realize that they're a part of every part of your life. They're a part of your work. They're a part of your side hustle. They're a part of your kids' soccer game. They're a part of everything you do, these four things, when we get right down into the potatoes. So for me, joy is something that's a part of everything that I do. Like, if it doesn't bring me joy, I don't do it.
Good.
It's that simple. When I met with you the first time, I was like, man, this guy is awesome to talk with. You brought me joy. Yes, I'm going to do your podcast.
Yeah.
If I met you and it was like, ooh.
Swinging a miss. Yeah.
No, the answer is no. So for me, joy is a part of everything that I do.
Good.
I love business. So business is a part of everything that I do. And people always joke because they're like, you're going to talk about business, whether or not it's in regards to soccer, if it's in regards to horses. And I am, because I love business. I'm going to talk about the power of branding and storytelling and connecting, because it impacts everything. Every one of my horses had, like, our horse is named Sunday because she looks like a caramel sundae. Like, there's stories everywhere, right? And so when you start to look at those, all of a sudden you start to see there's this framework, but the magic and the supernova comes is when those two of the four overlap. And that's where we dive in, and that's where your profit sits, because nobody else's circles are going to overlap like yours.
Right.
Nobody. Like, there's no one else in the world that's going to have the same overlaps as you. Like, you love Coke. Right?
Yeah. Well, that came from, I did a talk, and I used Coke as an example in my talk to illustrate my point. And then somebody gave me a Coke bottle because they liked my talk. And I'm like, okay, thanks. But they're like, no, that was a really good talk. It meant a lot to me. So you mentioned Coke. So here's a Coke bottle from my grandfather. It's been in my attic for years. Here you go. I put it on my desk. And then somebody saw that and then, hey, you collect Coke. I'm like, well, I have one bottle. They're like, well, I've got this and I've got that and I've got this. People start bringing me stuff because the story, the brand resonated with them and they couldn't escape it. And everywhere they looked, they saw a Coke bottle or a Coke whatever, and it reminded them of the impact of the story. Mm-hmm. So branding 101.
Welcome to branding right there.
So then my collection started because of I wish I said $100 bill, to be honest.
Right?
That would have been really good to collect. But I said Coke in the moment. But so there you go. Like when you can connect with somebody with your brand and then they connect with that,
yeah,
it lives on for you. So
it does. Yeah. And like,
that's a story. So,
and that's where, like, for me, that's where the power comes in. And that's why I call it the supernova, is because when you start to get into these overlaps, you're taking advantage of what doesn't exist for others.
Nice.
But it creates a bridge of connection, and it's like a heart to heart connection. It is not a, like, bank account to bank account connection.
Right.
And when you create heart connections, you create a whole team of cheerleaders. And when you have a whole team of cheerleaders, you have a brand that is unstoppable.
That is a great advice. That is so good. Okay, so that was the Nova part. What was the next part?
Oh, the Engage framework.
Engage, yes, for Gage.
So, in the Engage framework is where we actually dive into what you actually want to do to get your message out. You don't have to use social media. You don't have to be on Facebook. You don't have to do any of that. What do you actually want to do? So you love doing podcasts. So you do podcasts. That's part of your Engage framework. That's actually at the top of your Engage framework, probably. And then we look into, okay, so if this is what you're passionate about, this is what you could put 80% of your energy to, what can we put alongside of it that allows that primary effort to be reused in multiple spaces that your dream client is in, without causing you more work, but creating higher impact, which leads to higher profits?
Nice. And then all these fit together for your
rainbow.
Awesome. Can you kind of expand on rainbow a little bit more too? Because I love where you're going with this.
So when I think of my rainbow, I look at the fact that the beauty of a rainbow comes after a storm. Like, it's not easy diving into what is passionate, what you like, what you've overcome. None of this is easy. Like, building a personal brand is not easy. I am not going to be the person that's going to be like, you know what, we're going to do this and you're going to be like singing sunshine and rainbows and all of that right off the bat. No, we're going to go dive in. We're going to look at who you authentically are. We're going to put a very strategic framework around it. We're going to put boundaries on it. We're going to put a governor essentially on it. And we're going to make sure that you're in an environment that people want, need, and will purchase from you. in order so that you can live a life that you actually like. So that's the rainbow. It's like after the storm, after the figuring everything out, what do you actually want? Like, I don't want to work 80 hours a week. I want to work X number of hours a week. I want to be able to ride my horse every day. I want to be able to eat out at a fancy restaurant once a week with my husband. Those are the things that I want. I don't care about the cars. I don't care about any of that. Mine is about how do I create connection. For example, part of my rainbow is yesterday we took my grandma to see the world's biggest whale museum skeleton. And I was just like, I spent 12 hours with my 83-year-old grandma, with my children, making memories, learning, experiencing. And we're driving home and my grandma says to me, I guess I'm never too old to learn. And I was like, no, you're not, because you learned the exact same thing my 6-year-old learned, which is the exact same thing my 36-year-old self just learned. Like, we participated in something together and we made a new memory together. And that matters to me. So that's where you get to figure out what matters to you. What do you actually want it to look like? And how do we create this so it's all driving towards your desired result, which is your rainbow, instead of being fragmented and feeling discombobulated? Let's do a very strategic effort so that you can get that high impact, high profit within the boundaries that you want to actually live your life.
Wow. Brittany, this is amazing. Like, I didn't really know. I knew we were going to have a great conversation because you're an amazing guest, but I'm going to have to go and listen again to this because there's so much in here. And I just really appreciate you being so candid and open and demonstrating your brand here in a practical way. Like, this is not just words to you. It's who you are.
It's real life. Yeah.
Right. I think the sooner we can all make that connection between words on a paper or on a whiteboard or a big idea and who we are and understand that bridge, I think that's where our superpower, our supernova happens.
Right? Exists.
So we can all be more engaged and see more rainbows. I think there's just
I came up with pretty cool names for my kids and then it all worked. And I was like, my husband is like, you're the only human that got so fired up about that. I was like, I was pretty pumped. I think it turned out really good.
Okay. Well, let's add a little sub thing to that. And you have two humans that are super pumped up about that. That was really, I love how you made those connections. It's really amazing.
Yeah. And I look at it going like those for me and my kids are all so different. Like Nova's my creative one. Like, she's whimsical. She's a fairy, like a little pixie, just floats through the world in this mystical land. And then Gage is like construction and like building. And Bo was the most intense baby. Like, I will never forget, the neurosurgeon was carrying him in. Like, the neurosurgeon came out to get him in, to take him into neurosurgery. And he's this little baby. He's 8 pounds, like little. And he's carrying him and he's got him, like, his head is in his hand and he's got his body along his forearm from his legs. And he's like, you are very cute, but you are very serious. Like, I will not mess up. Like, this little 4-week-old baby was the most serious little baby in the fact that, like, you better take this seriously. And he lived 5 weeks. And he only had a 2% chance of survival past the first 24 hours. And I was like, this little creature came in with steel blue eyes and was like, hey, I'm here. I'm going to make a very big difference in a short amount of time. And then I'm out. And I'm like, wow, talk about the power of this little baby. And he impacted the neurosurgeon, like just in that little moment of carrying him into surgery. And I'll never forget, we were in the hospital and Gage says to Bo, it's okay that your light's too bright for your body.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that's how powerful that little baby was.
Yeah.
And so I will forever everything needs to be about allowing our own lights to be that bright so that we can make the world as the best we can make it while we're here.
Brittany, I'm so happy to have had you on the show. I'm so happy to have had time with you, that I, in some way, have brought you some part of joy to your day. I appreciate that. That was a very kind thing to say. People listening, they want to connect with you, Brittany. They want to work with you. They have so many questions. The website would be the best place to connect with you. Is that the best place to send people?
Yeah, so they can come to the website, or they can actually send me an email because I like personal.
Yeah.
So my email is thedeskofbrett@gmail.com.
Okay. I'll put that in the show notes as well so they can get that.
So people are welcome to pop me an email and ask questions, and I'll see if I can help them out.
And if you want a picture of a great horse, Sunday is volunteering to pose for yet another photo. So
very beautiful.
And I would love to meet Millie as well. So thank you for being a part of the show, part of the podcast. I hope that we get to talk more in the future because I'm leaving this episode really inspired and encouraged and supported all at the same time. So
thank you for doing this.
And thank you for sharing your story with us. Your story is powerful.
Thank you.
You put a real bow on our episode. So thanks.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you being willing to go there.
Awesome. All right, everybody, please check the show notes. Brittany has shared so much with us, and let's encourage her as well. And reach out. And you need somebody to help you with your personal brand, this is the best person that I have ever met who can help you. So reach out today. Thanks, Brittany.
Hey parents, if you're anything like me, balancing screen time for our kids is a constant struggle. That's why I want to share a little secret with you. KidsPod, a revolutionary app where podcasts aren't just for adults anymore. KidsPod offers a treasure trove of kid-friendly podcasts, making it super easy and safe for your little ones to explore, learn, and be entertained without staring at a screen. And the best part? It's completely free to download. Empower their imagination and curiosity with content that's made just for them. Download the KidsPod app today, because podcasts are for kids too.